Reading this morning will come from John chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. John chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
Good morning, church. It's great to see each and every one of you here this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. Thank you so much for coming our way. There's so much going on in this church family, and we are excited that you are here. I was thinking as I was driving in this morning of how beautiful the weather is. God has blessed us with great weather over this weekend. May get a little warmer this week, but we're thankful for the weather that we have and for the changing of seasons. I do want to bring your attention to a few things. I hope that you've been able to pick up a bulletin and notice some of those things. Haley Stockton sent us some information, talked to Miss Debbie this week. There's some information out here in the foyer and also over here in the hallway about an event that's taking place this Saturday, October the 7th, down at the Tennessee Street Park. It's called Souls for Souls, and she's needing some help. If you could help her, her information is there on that sheet. Now, the number is, there's one number off. She put down 731-428, but it's 731-438. So if you can help Haley this weekend, I know that she would appreciate that. Pick up one of those flyers. Note that that change to the phone number there. Also, don't forget, on this Saturday, October the 7th, we're going to be picking up trash down along Pickwick Street from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Meet here at the building at 9 a.m. If you can help, if you plan on helping with that, please sign the list in the lobby, because we're going to have some snacks and drinks and things like that, and we need to know a number so we can make sure and have that amount of snacks and things like that. So another opportunity for us to get out and take care of our community and show our community love and appreciation for the community that we live in. Tomorrow night, we'll be also feeding a home-cooked meal to the men down at Teen Challenge. If you are not signed up to help with that and you would like to help with that, please see Miss Diane Wilkins. She's going to be in charge of those that will be preparing that food this week. Also be praying about those events and other events that we have coming up. A lot of things here in our bulletin, so take note of those. Other community outreach opportunities as well. And I do want to say about something about our door knocking tonight. I appreciate Michael and John David and Miss Diane taking leadership over this program. This came out of one of the many things that came out of our meeting a few months ago, thinking about ways we can reach out to our community. And so I appreciate their leadership. But I want to remind us, this is really all of our program. This is really an opportunity for each and every one of us really to sometimes step out of our comfort zone, let people know, hey, we are God's people, and we are here not to condemn you, but to pray with you and to direct you toward Jesus Christ. What an opportunity. So Michael and John David and Miss Diane, thank you so much for your leadership on that. Those that are leading groups, thank you. For those in the youth group that will be here today at 3 o'clock, thank you. What a great opportunity we have before us. And so I hope that you will take every advantage of that. Don't forget, there will be a service for those who may not be able to go out and knock doors. But we want to encourage each of you that have the opportunity and can do so, please be involved at those times, 3 or 4:30, and especially 5:30 over at the fairgrounds. As Bradley mentioned, this month we're going to be talking about prayer. I want to share with you some things I came across about prayer. There's a story about a man and his young boy. And they decided they were going to go out and run some errands that day. And so the little boy went with his dad. And as they're going out through town, they're running their errands, it became lunchtime. And so they go into the local diner, and they walk into the diner, and this is one of those diners that has the bar up there with the stools. And so the dad goes in, and he sits on one of the stools, and he lifts his son up, and he sets his son there on the stool beside him. And he said, "Son, we're just going to have a silent prayer today." So the son agreed, and the food came, and they bowed their heads, and the father said his silent prayer. And he opened his eyes, and the son was still, had his head bowed, still praying. And this went on for an unusually long time. And finally, the son lifted his head, and the father replied to him, said, "Son, what in the world were you praying for all that length of time?" And in with the innocence and honesty of a child, he said, "I don't know, don't ask me, it was a silent prayer." When Robert Louis Stevenson was a boy, he commented to his mother, "Mama, you can't be good without praying." "How do you know, Robert?" He said, "Because I've tried." There's another story about a little fella who had gotten in trouble for being bad, and he had been sent to his room. In a little bit, he came back out and he said, "Mom, I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." And she said, "That's fine." She said, "If you ask God to make you good, He'll help you." He said, "Oh, I didn't ask God to help me be good. I asked God to help you put up with me." This is another funny one. There was a church in Kentucky, and they were enjoying their worship. And there was this verbally loud and boisterous child that was being taken out of the services under the arm of his irate father. And nobody really raised an eyebrow until in a loud voice, he said, "Y'all pray for me now." Prayer. We sing about it, don't we? We read about it in God's Word. We sing songs like "Sweet Hour of Prayer." "Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. And oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer." As I looked into this word, prayer, there was a lot of stuff about prayer, and we don't have the time to get into all those details this morning. But I want us to briefly think about prayer and think about what prayer is and some reasons that we pray. Prayer is a special thing, isn't it? It's special. It's important. But you know, prayer is more than just bowing our heads and closing our eyes, isn't it? I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and I want you to notice some things that James says to us that I believe will help us to understand prayer maybe a little bit more. James chapter 5, and notice what he says beginning in verse 13. He speaks about this very idea, this topic of prayer. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. First of all, I want us to think about what is prayer. Someone has said, I do not believe in prayer. I believe in God, therefore I pray. I was reading also, someone made the comment that before we really delve into understanding what prayer is, we have to understand who it is we're praying to. Who God is. Who is God? Well, there's a number of words and names in Scripture that talk about God. Well, I think about God being the sovereign King. He reigns supreme. He is the King of kings. I think about God as being holy. I think about God as being eternal. The Bible tells us that God is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. The Bible tells us that God is the Creator of us, of the world, of the universe, of all things. The Bible tells us that God is Jehovah. He is the God. So let us remember, when we bow our heads to pray, when we open up our hearts to God, let us remember who it is we are praying to. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia describes some words that tell what prayer is. Hebrew words and Greek words. Some of those mean to call out. Some of those mean to cry out. Some of those mean to call on the name of the Lord, we might read in Scripture. Others mean to, I petition the Lord. I ask for the things that maybe I need or the things that are going on in my life. And those are some words that describe prayer. You see, when we approach God, we do so with the need to understand who God is. And all these attributes explain who God is. All these attributes remind us of who this God is. But let us remember also, this is the God who also wants a relationship with us. God has a desire to hear from us. Do you not enjoy hearing from the people that you care about? If you've raised children, do you not enjoy hearing from your children? God is no different. God desires to hear from us. The Almighty, the Holy One, the All-Seeing and All-Powerful One. One person has said, our knowledge of God determines our practice of talking to God. Our knowledge of God determines our practice of talking to God. Prayer is no doubt a holy privilege. I mean, think about it. We as God's children, we have the opportunity to come before the throne of Almighty God freely and boldly with our needs, with our desires, with our hurts, with our hearts, crying out to Him, calling on His name. We have that opportunity as the children of God. That's an awesome and humbling thought. That we have the opportunity through prayer to encounter the sovereign Creator of the world. We sing this song every time. Every time I kneel to pray, I open up my heart to the Lord. Every time I close my eyes, I feel the sweet embrace of my Lord. Conveys this very idea that we as God's children can encounter the Almighty God through prayer. Charles Hodge says this about prayer. A proper reverence for God is the fertile soil of contrite prayer. Prayer demands a priority of God. When we pray, we commune with God. Prayer is our way of communicating with the Almighty. There's a story with the title of The Empty Chair. That story is about a man who was sick. He was in bed and he was sick. And his daughter called the local preacher. And he asked the preacher to come. She asked the preacher to come visit her father. And when he walked into the room, there was this man laying on the bed, propped up with pillows. And beside him was an empty chair. And as he walked into the room, the man opened his eyes and he said, I guess you were expecting me. And the man said, no, who are you? He said, well, I'm the preacher at the church here. He said, when I walked in, I just noticed this empty chair, and I just assumed that you had been expecting me. He said, oh, the chair. He said, close the door if you don't mind. He closed the door, and the man on the bed proceeded to tell him, don't even tell my daughter this, but I've struggled with praying over time. I mean, when I was at church, the preacher would talk about prayer and it'd just go right over my head. He said, so I just reverted to not praying at all. Didn't understand it, so I just didn't pray. He said, about 4 years ago, a good friend of mine came and he was talking to me and we were talking about prayer. And he told the older man that was dying, he said, listen. He said, why don't you do this? Why don't you get an empty chair beside your bed and in faith just vision as if Jesus were in that chair. And then talk to him. And he said, so I began doing that. And prayer began to mean a whole lot more to me. Later on, the man passed away. The preacher asked the daughter, said, well, did he pass in peace? She said, yes. She said, it was interesting. Said, I went in and kissed my dad because I was about to run to town. And he proceeded to tell one of his corny jokes. And then he kissed me on the cheek and said, I love you. And I left and I went to town. About an hour later, I returned home and I came into this room and I found him gone. He said, you know, a strange thing, though, more than strange, a weird thing, is that as I came into the room, I noticed my father had leaned over and laid his head on that chair. He had finally realized, when we pray, through Jesus Christ, we come in before the very presence of Jehovah Almighty God. And what a comfort that is and can be. Prayer is our opportunity and our way of communicating to God. Though He knows all. Though He knows our needs, though He knows our desires, it's our opportunity to communicate to God. Notice some things that James says here to pray for. Now, this is not by any means an exhaustive list. Not the only things to pray for, but we're dealing with what James is saying here. Notice that James says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. That word suffering means those that are in difficult circumstances. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be a persecution. It could be some things that are happening at work, in your neighborhood, at school. Difficult circumstances. As God's people go through life, we will indeed face difficult circumstances. What will we do? What should we do? James says, if you're suffering, let him pray. Remember, we're not talking about just bowing our head and closing our eyes, mumbling some words. We're talking about coming before the throne of Almighty God. We have that opportunity through Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing prayer is that allows us, because of our faith and obedience to Jesus Christ, to come in the presence of Almighty God. But what should we do if we find ourselves in such trying circumstances? We pray, ask God to help us understand the situation, and use it to glorify Him. I'm reminded of what James says in James chapter 1, asking for wisdom in this situation. James chapter 1 verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Approach God in wisdom. Ask Him for wisdom to help in these situations. Having faith, we'll talk about in just a minute. What if God doesn't remove these afflictions? We pray to God and God can remove these afflictions, but what if He doesn't? What should we do? Pray. Pray and ask God to give us the strength to handle the things that are going on in our life. Remember Paul? Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Whatever that was, Paul was going through difficulties. And what was Paul able to do? Because he took those to God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul was able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice he didn't say, you know, I can do the easy things, Lord. Lord, I can handle the easy things. Paul said, no, because of you, God. And because I get my strength from you, God, I can handle all things. Because you see, the power is not in me, Paul would say. The power is in the one we pray to. James would say in verses 14 through 16, pray for the sick. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. James says, is any sick? Call for the elders of the church. There's nothing wrong with calling the preacher. But James says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing him with oil. And did you catch what it was that would save that person? He says the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. But what is the prayer of faith? Maybe 1 John chapter 5 lends some light on that. 1 John 5 verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. The prayer of faith is the one that's prayed in God's will. Jesus would say, oh Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, the prayer of faith is the prayer that comes from faith, knowing that God has the power to heal. But if that healing doesn't come in this life, God has the power to help us walk through that situation. God has the power to handle the situation. And that is the prayer of faith. Notice verses 17 through 18. James would say, pray for the nation. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. Notice he said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. A lot of times we read in Scripture and we see these people of the Bible and we think, oh, that's Elijah. That's Paul. That's Peter. Man, those guys were good. They were able to speak to God directly. They had this or they had that. Listen, the Bible says they were people like us. And they approached the throne of God, prayed earnestly. that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, this is a story that comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17 and 18. Wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, the queen, they had led Israel away from God into the worship of Baal. And God had punished the nation. Elijah had prayed. God had punished the nation by holding back the necessary rain that they needed. And then we have that great conquest, that great contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. They're going to cry out to their God, to their God, and Elijah is going to pray out to the God. Well, they pray and they pray and they pray and they pray and they pray all day and nothing happens. Elijah then rebuilds the altar, has them douse it with water, lots of water, and then he prays to God. And fire from heaven consumes the altar and the water. Elijah declaring to those people, I've prayed to Jehovah God, the God who hears. The God who answers prayer. Not always like we want Him to, but the God who hears and answers prayer. But the nation still needed rain. So Elijah goes up to Mount Carmel and he prays that God would bring rain. And God heard his prayer. And God answered. You see, the Bible says Elijah is a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed to God earnestly. God heard and God answered. In His will, for His glory. The famous author, C.S. Lewis, who's written the books, The Chronicles of Narnia, and other books. A movie was made titled Shadowlands about C.S. Lewis and his life. And in this movie, it showed how he fell in love with this woman named Joy. And in the movie, you were able to see their love for one another, their struggles even with their faith in God. And then Joy is diagnosed with cancer. And so they wed. And later, she dies. And a friend comes to Lewis and he says, I know that you have prayed. And God has answered. And Lewis says this, that's not why I pray, Harry, his friend. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I am helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. Prayer is important, isn't it? Prayer is an awesome privilege. Not because it changes God or His mind, but because it changes me. Years ago, early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in their private devotions. As the story goes, that each one of those individuals would pick out a place in a thicket where they could pour out their heart to God. And the more they went to that thicket, it began to wear out a trail to that thicket. So that people would know that they were constantly praying. As the story goes, when one noticed things growing back up on that path, they noticed one that wasn't praying maybe as often as they should. And they would go to that one and they would say, brother, the grass grows on your path. Today, how is your prayer life? That opportunity that we have, not just publicly, but also privately, to approach the throne of Almighty God, the all-seeing, the all-knowing, the all-powerful Jehovah God. How's your path to that place where you go to pray? You know, I have to admit to you that I can't stand here and point a finger at anybody else. But I can say, at times, the grass has begun to grow, growing on my prayer, on my path to my prayers. What an opportunity we have to approach the throne of Almighty God, to communicate to Him, to cry out to Him with our sufferings, with our sicknesses, with the things that we don't understand. And say, God, I know that You are in charge. Do you have a need to respond to the Lord's invitation today? Maybe you need to come to God and give your life to Him through Jesus Christ. Maybe it is, for some reason, your hearts are heavy. You've gone through some trials. You're going through some difficulties. There's some things that maybe you don't understand. Maybe there's some things that you're struggling with. Remember, we have the opportunity to go before Almighty God, the God who hears and the God who answers, as together we stand and sing.